Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. It's brought to you by Farmers. At Farmers, we've seen almost everything, so we know how to cover almost anything. When it's game time, have an experienced player help you stay ahead of the game. Put their experience into play at Farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Dearly beloved, we gather here to warn the passing of another Lakers season. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. The Lakers are dead. They are done. They are finished. The Lakers lost to their crosstown rivals, but I guess it's now crosstown nemesis because the Clippers keep beating the Lakers. They lose to them at home. I guess it's always really at home, but yes, they were technically the home team. LeBron James statistically played well, but there were still moments of defensive inadequacies. They don't have Brandon Ingram the entire game. Kyle Kuzma rolls his ankle, and they lose again to the Clippers. Making it almost an impossibility that they make the playoffs. They are not mathematically eliminated, but I would not buy green bananas on this season. Take a listen to LeBron after the game.
Definitely a game that we needed tonight. For obvious reasons, there's a team that we were chasing, and we didn't take care of business. So, you know, you kind of look at the rest of the games and look at the percentages of what's going on here in the future and see what makes more sense, for not only me, but for the team itself as well.
Yeah, that's one of those, wait a second, let's see what makes sense. How much do I have to go out there and play basketball when I'm playing meaningless games? He was asked about shutting it down the rest of the season. That would take a lot of convincing from Luke on up. He told ESPN, unless I'm hurt, I'm not sitting games. That conversation hasn't occurred, but I'm sure it can happen soon. Which is like, look, here's the deal. I don't really want to play meaningless games. I totally understand, though, that if I say I want to sit games, then I'm going to be the bad guy. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to plant stories with Chris Carter and with Jay Williams and with other people saying, why don't you sit LeBron down? I'm not hurt. I'm just not playing that great. I don't have great energy and maybe a little extra rest. Like, what are you resting for? The off season? This is what the Redskins did to RG3 when they didn't want him around. Not what the Lakers should do to LeBron James. You got to give us some hope. Not just some hype. Oh, he's his own worst enemy. And look, I don't blame all of it on LeBron James. Anybody's like, Gottlieb, you're a hater. I'm actually broadcasting from our iHeartRadio studios in Oklahoma City. That's why I met a guy named Woody this morning, and that was his voice. That's where I got that accent. I didn't think that everybody's a LeBron James fan sounds like they're from Chickasha, Oklahoma. Gottlieb, you're a hater. No, but that's a good voice for this particular imitation. I'm not a hater. I don't put it all on him. All right, we said this yesterday. Inexperienced GM, inexperienced team president, no assistant GM. You know, you have, frankly, Jeannie Buss. I mean, like, no one's going to say this, but what the hell does she know about running a basketball team? Like, everyone's like, oh, well, she's just amazing, you know. Dr. Jerry Buss, like, dude, Dr. Jerry Buss used to write checks and party with Magic Johnson. He didn't know what he was doing. He lucked out. He got Jerry West and he had Pat Riley and they had Magic Johnson and they figured it out. I mean, come on. Oh, Jeannie Buss. Well, Jeannie Buss will do a better job than Jim Buss. Okay. Neither of them doing a particularly good job because neither of them know anything about basketball. The dumbest conversation people have ever had. Jeannie Buss, she knows how to do it. She'll hire good people. Like, okay, she hired, you know, first she fired Mitch, then she hired Rob Pelinka, who had no experience at all. He's an agent. And Magic Johnson, who, come on, we've been around for the Magic thing. I mean, there is less substance there than an Old West town. Right, you ever been one of those fake Old West towns where the storefronts are like one thing, then you go behind the storefront, it's like, wait a second, it's a shanty behind it. That's magic. Comes in with a big smile, laughs. Great smile. You're like, wow. Hey, that talk show was bad. The coaching job was bad. The presidentship was bad. And by the way, in order to run the ship correctly with the Dodgers, they went out and hired baseball guys. Just like they should hire some basketball guys to do the basketball job at the Lakers. I don't put it all in the feet of LeBron James, but the idea that LeBron James earlier this year said he wasn't chasing anything, didn't hang around the team when he got hurt, got all his clutch guys paid so that nobody who's not clutch wanted to come. Like, look, it's just a bad look. And maybe last night they were physically overmatched because he didn't have Ingram and he still doesn't have Lonzo. And he shouldn't be expected to do what he used to do, and it's a flawed roster, and that's not solely or even mostly on LeBron James. But the way in which he lacks energy and aggression and tenacity and is so easy to throw anyone and everyone else under the proverbial bus. You know what leaders do? Leaders go, hey, I got to be better. And you know what? As long as there are games to be played and the playoffs to be made, we're going to fight. We're going to get in here. We're going to figure it out. And we're going to fight. We're going to one game. Then we're in two games. Then we're in three games. Then we're in four games. What we're going to do? We're going to put together wins every day. And if at the end of the day, it's enough to make the playoffs, great. If not, we're going to give it everything we have. But we haven't heard any of that from LeBron. And the only reason you're hearing shutting it down from Jay Williams and from Chris Carter and now some other people chiming in is because he wants to shut it down. That's how he operates. Let everybody else do his dirty work for him. LeBron James' favorite movie is The Godfather. That's the way in which The Godfather worked. They'll fire Luke and he'll pretend like, I cannot believe Luke got fired. They'll trade players and he'll pretend like, I cannot believe that guy got traded. But what a disaster in LA. And you know who we need to give it up to? You know who deserves the most credit for knowing the league and knowing himself today? Paul George. I said it. Now he's an MVP candidate playing for a better team and a better organization with a guy who, though he's not, doesn't have the greatest track record as coach in the NBA, but does have a couple championships in college and has managed to get this thing going in the right direction. Paul George. Look at the standings. Look at his perspective. More than anything, like, look, you want to go play for an organization that does things that are in the best interest or in the organization, not just in the best interest of their highest paid superstar. Look at Oklahoma City. 39-24. They'll probably end up with a third, maybe even the second best record in the West. He's an MVP candidate. Yes, the dollar goes further. It's not his hometown, but he's perfectly happy. He knows himself, and he knew, I don't want to do that LeBron thing. This is what KD was talking about. This is why Kyrie Irving left Cleveland. This is why Kawhi doesn't want to be a Laker. Because as great as LeBron is, in his wake is a series of terrible contracts in Cleveland, some hurt feelings in Miami, and this disaster that's in Miami. What an abject disaster. Disaster. And I am stunned by the lack of Kobe in it. Right? And Kobe has told people I know this guy's just not wired like me. And this is the perfect example why. I didn't love Kobe, and Kobe would try and fight the world. But you know what? He would fight the world to try and win, even when he told him he couldn't. Whereas there's a sitting out is laying down, and there's a laying down to LeBron James. There's not a ton of dog in him, but there's some dog in him. There's a give up factor. You know, it's like everyone I know has a self-destruct button, and it's how quickly and how easily you can get to that button. Some people hit that thing much more easily. There's also, everyone has a, you know, there's a point where you give up. Some people will never give up. Some people, it's far too easy to give up. And most great athletes find a way to push through pain, fatigue, any sort of thing that's not going their way. I can't believe what's happening with LeBron James. There's a give up in him that we haven't seen in him in a while. He shut it down at times and pouted in order to get his way, but this is a shutting it down because he feels like it's for naught with his team. I didn't think I'd see that.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
But let's catch up with Carlos Boozer. Booze, of course, a two-time NBA All-Star. Knows all things going on in the NBA. I want to ask him about the Celtics as well, but let's start with the Lakers. Obviously, most of us believe that this season is over. What percentage of the blame do you lay at the feet of LeBron James?
Well, I mean, it's tough, though. You think about it, you know, before he got hurt, they were sitting real pretty, and I think in that fourth spot in the Western Conference, looking very promising. Obviously, he misses those 17, 18 games that he missed with his injury. He comes back, and they're, you know, they got a huge hill to climb in the Western Conference where teams have gotten a lot better. You know, a few years ago, used to laugh at Sacramento. That's a guaranteed win. Now they're very good and much improved. Denver has taken a huge leap forward and is towards the top of the Western Conference as well. And even Utah is sitting pretty, too. So all the teams that weren't very good a couple years ago have improved a great deal. So he's in a loaded Western Conference. I feel like that those 18 games that he missed with his injury really hurt that team. And then obviously all the trade rumors with Anthony Davis and what have you might have messed with those young guys because they are kind of young. It was the first time they really have been through, you know, trade scenarios where, as a veteran, you know, it comes up almost every offseason. You know, if you have an opportunity to get a sub player like Anthony Davis, who's one of the top three, four, five players in the world, you know, there's a chance you might get traded. So I think psychologically that really hurt some of the young guys. But regardless, it's also a huge lesson into the business of basketball for that young group of guys. And now the playoffs look very bleak for them, very slim. So I think at this point, I know LeBron's a huge competitor. And he'll want to play it all the way out so there's zero chance left of them making the playoffs. And he probably will do that. Obviously very close to passing MJ on the scoring list. But at the same time, I feel like you got to start looking towards the future.
I would agree. I'm surprised that there has – and look, you're right. Some of the teams in the West are down. But they lost – I mean, that were down are now up. But, I mean, like, look – the Clippers trade away Tobias Harris. They lost to the Atlanta Hawks. They lost to the Grizzlies, who trade away Marc Gasol. They lost to the Pelicans, who didn't play Anthony Davis except for 20 minutes of that game. And they lost to the Suns, the worst team in the NBA. So I would agree if you said we were matching them up against the playoff teams, the Denvers, the Golden States, the Oklahoma Cities. But they've been losing to bad teams. Bad.
Yeah, I think that's the sign that psychologically, though, some of those guys aren't there anymore. You know what I mean? I think Lakers would definitely have more talent than the Suns and Memphis and those teams, even New Orleans without Anthony Davis. But that's a sign of a very young group of guys who have failed to play a whole 48 minutes of excellent defense because, honestly, in the Western Conference, you could lose to anybody. All those teams can score out there. Not all those teams play good defense. And the Lakers have fallen short on the defensive side most of the season.
Carlos Boozer, our guest on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. How hard is it to fix in the offseason?
It can be. It depends on what they do. You know, obviously Rob Pelinka and Magic Johnson have a huge, huge offseason coming up. If they can make a move, get a couple of free agents, make some trades, and rebolster that locker room, obviously around LeBron James, you know, things can change in a heartbeat. You know, just getting LeBron, you have a chance. I still believe that if he was healthy, he didn't miss those 18 games, and there wasn't all these trade talks to Anthony Davis, they would be sitting pretty in the Western Conference. But that's all in the past at this point. I think if you compare him with a stud, you know, like an AD, or I don't know if Kawhi is going to leave Toronto and want to go to LA, or Jimmy Butler. If you compare him with an elite, you know, top 20 player in the league, they'll have a great chance next year to make some noise.
Carlos Boozer, our guest on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Kyrie Irving says he didn't get into basketball for all the attention, but he has done. I liked Uncle Drew. I thought it was. I watched it with my kids this past weekend. I thought it was awesome. That was really, really good. And just because you're in a movie doesn't mean you want attention. But it's not like he's done things to divert attention from him. How do those remarks strike you?
I mean, at the end of the day, when you're one of the top players in the world, you're going to get attention. He knows that. I think at this point, I think he means some of the negative attention that they may be getting. But it's part of basketball. You got to take the good and the bad. The gift, it's a gift and a curse. You know, you're going to get praise. You're going to get opportunities to play Uncle Drew in movies and get your own signature shoe, which, by the way, his shoe was fire, all those awesome colors. But when you're going through a spiral and his team is, you know, during the NBA season, as you know, is ups and downs. And they're going through a down part of that. They're in one of the valleys right now instead of one of the peaks. So there's a lot of scrutiny going on, a lot of criticism going on, trying to figure out what's wrong, quote unquote, with the Celtics. And obviously him being the best player on the team, he's going to take a lot of that. It's like being a quarterback of a team. You know, when you're doing well, you get all the praise. When you're doing bad, you get all the criticism. That's part of being the best player. And he knows that as well. So I think he probably just wants to go out there and play and go home. But in between going home, you got to talk to some media.
Carlos Boozer, our guest on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. With all of that mess, I'm watching Golden State, and though they still have three great shot makers, they're not the same with Boogie Cousins. And obviously, they're going to bring back Andrew Bogut, who's a great passer and a great screener. Doesn't that kind of admit that Boogie isn't making them better like some thought or most people thought he would?
It just depends. I mean, obviously, you know, Boogie's coming off a really tough injury that has plagued a lot of NBA players. That's ended some careers as well, and he's doing a pretty decent job. I think he's also getting back in basketball shape. You know, you could run on the treadmill, swim in the water, do individual workouts all day long, but it's nothing like playing against your peers in an NBA setting, an NBA game, banging down low, taking a sprint down the other end, banging some more, getting a rebound. You know, it's just different when you're playing live basketball in front of 20,000 fans, so I think he's getting him back in shape a little bit. And I also think for Steve Kerr, I think when the chips are all on the table come playoff time and it's the fourth quarter, depending on the matchup, I still think he goes with the Hampton Five, meaning with Iguodala in there instead of Boogie, because that group has been tested. Obviously, Iggy's been a finals MVP. But I still feel like there's a lot of growth going on there with Boogie. Numbers-wise, they may not be as efficient or – I think he has a high minus. I can't remember what his minus is, but he has a high minus. Part of that is just him getting back in shape, getting to know some of those guys, getting to know their system. I mean, he's only been out there for like 20, 25 games or whatever it's been. So give him some more time. But Bogut is going to be a huge signing. I think he's a phenomenal big man at the center spot, great passer, knows that system very well, very good rebounder, and also a good defender. So. And he's an unselfish big man. But Boogie is one of those guys, especially the Boogie that we're seeing now, the very calm, cool, and collected, just playing basketball Boogie. I think that'd be a problem anybody would love to have on their team.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of Carlos Boozer joining us here, talking some NBA. Day after LeBron and the Lakers lose to the Clippers. Looks like that season is over. The Celtics, of course, got the Warriors a four-game road swing. They're going to try and find themselves. We talked a little bit about the Warriors themselves. And then you have the upcoming offseason and the idea of New York. Look, you've been around basketball enough. I know you grew up in Alaska, but when you came down, like the guy that fixes the Knicks is going to be hailed as an all-time hero. For your entire collegiate and professional life, guys have tried to fix the Knicks. Do you think legitimately some stars will go there, the KDs and the Kyries will go there and try and get it done?
I think they're going to have an opportunity. I think they're sitting pretty. I don't know if guys will leave. KD's in a very good situation. I think Golden State is gearing up to give him a huge, huge contract, maybe the richest we've seen in the NBA. But I think a lot of teams will. But I think Golden State's preparing for that big contract. I know Kyrie's going to have a hell of a decision to make, you know, whether staying in Boston or taking his talents elsewhere. Him being from Jersey, obviously the Knicks look very attractive to him. And then obviously the Knicks are, I think they may be the worst team in the league record-wise. I'm not sure. Yep. They have 12 or 13 wins. They're going to have a very good chance to get Zion and be in that top two or three picks and get, you know, either Zion or R.J. Barrett or the kid out of Murray State or Cam Reddish or whoever they choose is their next young stud to come up. But I do think they're going to be a factor. You know, I know that there's a lot of guys that like New York. I don't know if they want to play there. But we'll find out this summer.
It would be
interesting, though. If we saw Kyrie and KD and Zion in New York, which is all the rumors going on, it would make them very good very quickly.
Do you think Zion's going to play? He's not going to play tonight against. He's not going to play tonight against against
Wake.
No,
I think he comes back for the ACC tournament. You know, I think he's resting that knee, getting it healthy. I think he comes back for the ACC tournament and for March Madness.
I agree with you, and it's obviously a chance to win another national title at Duke. Booze, great stuff, man. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, anytime, guys.
All right, that's Carlos Boozer joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
As trade talks continues for Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown, the interest is real, and while there are other teams talking with Pittsburgh, the Raiders are one team continually in the mix. Also, Benjamin Albright is the NFL draft insider. He's reporting that John Gruden and the Raiders are trying to land Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, and somehow draft Kyler Murray. Now, here's the thing. Do I believe all of this to be true? I do. And look, if you're the it'll be hard to trade within the AFC, although, look, they're historic rivals with the Pittsburgh Steelers, they're not really rivals. They're in the AFC West. Le'Veon, they can sign as a free agent, and they have a ton of cap space. And then you got to worry about what you're doing with Derek Carr. And even though John Gruden and Mike Mayock both said Derek Carr is their quarterback, John Gruden loves quarterbacks like my college roommate likes lead singers in bands. I can't explain it. There's a place in Stillwater, Oklahoma, called Eskimo Joe's. And Joe's used to always have performers, usually on Thursday night, live music. And if there was a lead singer that was a woman, he would want to get her number. It didn't matter how thick, how thin, how tall, how small. He had a thing for lead singer. It was like all of a sudden, it was like the voice of a, what was it? The Iliad and the Odyssey, right? Remember the sirens? It was like the voice of the sirens where he just could not take his eyes off. He'd be mid-beer, mid-conversation. He would hear a female lead singer, and he'd go and look at the stage, and whoever it was, I got to meet her, DG. I got to meet her. Some guys have a thing for redheads, some blondes, some brunettes, some tall. I like tall women. I like short women. Whatever. I need somebody thick I can go to war with. Everybody has their thing. John Gruden's thing is quarterbacks. He likes them. He likes all of them. Especially the ones he doesn't have. Benjamin Albright from his verified account. It's not going to be the Broncos, Raiders. It's not going to be the Broncos. The Raiders are the ones leading for Antonio Brown. Gruden trying to pull off Brown, Le'Veon Bell, and Kyler Murray. It'd be pretty fun. I don't know how good it'd be, but it'd be pretty fun. And remember, as much as Antonio Brown has been kind of a nut job in the way in which he's handled his desire to be traded. Le'Veon Bell, the only concern with him is he's going to be in shape. Like he's always been productive. Like he wasn't really a malcontent per se. You know, he actually thought he got the ball too much because they were trying to wear him down. So he wasn't as valuable in free agency. And then the Kyler Murray thing would be fascinating. But do I think that John Gruden likes Kyler Murray's quarterback? Hell yes, he loves Kyler Murray. Why? Because Kyler Murray is the best prospecting. John Gruden loves quarterbacks. Period, stop, end of story. Do you ever have a buddy like that, music, that just there was one type of woman or whatever they couldn't?
Yeah, I had one of my college roommates was all about the girls with tattoos.
Ah, girls with tattoos.
Didn't really matter anything else. If a girl had any sort of visible tattoos, immediately he was just in awe over her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ramos is a big tat guy.
Yes, you got me pinned down with the tats.
I'm surprised John got that neck tattoo.
Well, you know, once he went Post Malone and got the face tattoo, it didn't really matter. He could go neck tattoo as well. You know, he got the Meet the Millers No Regrets tattoo as well across his chest. Have you seen that one? You haven't been to the beach with him like I have. He didn't see the No Regrets tattoo. No Regrets. Yeah, I'm intrigued to see what Gruden does, because he does have all these picks. He does have all that cap space. There has to be some sort of plan there. And I don't think the plan is simply to take a bunch of rookies, a bunch of young dudes, and hope they develop. If you can get a ready-made, you know, running back, a guy who can, or you know, and sign him as a free agent. My question with Antonio Brown is not would he play, it's how much money he will play for.
But wouldn't that, John Gruden and the Raiders wouldn't be the first team to do this. But isn't that basically sort of insanity, right? Just doing something that another team already did. And sure, they had what you could consider somewhat success, but never really achieved as much as they all thought they were. Like, we all thought every year, we said, man, most talented team in the NFL. And the Steelers never did as much as we thought they would when they had Big Ben, Antonio Brown, and Le'Veon Bell. So why would it be any different with John Gruden and the Raiders if they get there? I mean, they're only going to be older.
Why wouldn't what be different?
Why would the Raiders expect to have any more success than what the Steelers had by bringing on these two guys if they get Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown?
The Steelers had a lot of success. The Steelers were probably the best team in the AFC, and then Ryan Shazier got hurt. I mean, and like, look, it immediately, like, Le'Veon Bell's like a really good player. We agree?
No, I agree, but that's what
Antonio
we always
Brown's really good.
Right, but that's what we always said about the Steelers. Man, they got a ton of talent, and then they would win the AFC North, which, look, you know, the Ravens were good, but they also had their own injury problems. Browns were a mess forever. Bengals could be good at times. They could also be a mess at other times. So it wasn't like, you know, the fact that they missed the playoffs this year was a complete surprise. So I don't understand why, if you're the Raiders, I mean, it's like any other team, you're trying to convince yourself that the issues that they've had in the past elsewhere are somehow going to be gone when you bring them onto your team.
Oh, I would agree with that. I mean, look, I would completely agree with you in regards to the fact that it's that you're trying to, you know, it's like somebody gets divorced and you know why they got divorced, and then you'd be surprised when they pull the same stuff in their second marriage. I understand. But what I'm telling you is, let's see what the bottom line is. You know, what can you get Antonio Brown for? You know, can you get him for a low draft pick? Because now he's killed his draft value. And can you get him for, you know, somewhere less than what you would have been paying Amari Cooper? He's better than Amari Cooper. You know, if you can get rid of Derek Carr's contract and you have Kyler Murray playing on a rookie contract, that changes things as well. If you get Le'Veon Bell at far less than the crazy guaranteed money he wants, like, that could be really smart. So I'm not disagreeing with you, but let's also remember that as much as this year was a poop show, like, it took a Ryan Shazier injury and the catch rule to keep them away from home field advantage throughout the playoffs, and you could build, realistically, you could build a better roster this way if you keep their cap under control. Like, I don't think it's crazy to think that you can build it in a better way than how Pittsburgh had built it.